Right, let's try that again. It's now 28 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, and we are chatting with Chapman. Plumbing boss Barry Chapman is in the house. It's been a while, but nice to see you again.
Yeah, good, man. Yeah, sorry about last week. I got a little tangled up in the job.
We understand that when the work takes priority always. You've got to keep the customer satisfied.
100%.
That's why your business does so well. So, we are into... I was going to use a little pun about plumbing and, you know, the fact that we're now facing this general election and all sorts of things. But we are absolutely not going to go there. We're just going to continue like this swan gliding across the water effortlessly. No paddling underneath and not at all. Let's talk a little bit about how you, the last time we spoke, you'd done some extraordinary work. You'd been out and about and up and down, and you'd been to an expo, and you were all excited about the fact that there was Gerberit had produced some amazing plumbing technology, and you had been prior to that involved in a kind of training operation with the view to uplifting, generally speaking, the plumbing trade. And all of this is really, I think, speaks to how you approach business. It's not all just fitting and stripping and cleaning and...
you've got to give back a bit, huh?
There's a lot more to it. And I was wondering, you know, we're talking to young people all the time about careers. And often we hear, oh, I want to be in showbiz, I want to be this or that. Very few... if any have ever come in and said, I want to be a plumber, but I know a couple of plumbers, your good self included, and they seem to do extraordinarily well, the good ones, anywhere in the world. Yes. South African plumbers are, you know, they have those lists in countries that South Africans want to go and explore. And almost all of them at the top of the list are the trades, and plumbing is right up there. So... what advice would you give a youngster that was looking at some kind of future plan, a career, and thinking possibly along the lines of going into the arts? Or because, I mean, you're an artistic guy. I'm sure you had at one stage an idea of becoming a rock star or something like that, but you chose a more sensible career.
Yeah, so basically when I left matric, I couldn't see myself being that guy working in a white-collar... in that whole office environment, me and my brain, just the two wouldn't have gelled together very well. Knew I wanted to work with my hands, but didn't really know which direction I wanted to go. So back then, Dad was in the building industry. He had quite a few contacts. So we went and spoke to the electrician, the plumber, had a friend who was a mechanic. I went and worked with him. And then we all know Trevor Wolf from that lovely him. And I said to him, do you mind if I come do a bit of work experience in the kitchen and get a feel of it? So I basically had those four trades that I had lined down going, you know, electrics was relatively quickly kind of ironed out because... you know, when you're a plumber, you can see the poo you're working with. When you're an electrician, you can't see whether there's electricity in the cables or not. So that one was ruled out pretty quickly. The mechanic side of things, I still thoroughly enjoy mechanics. I do a lot of self-taught stuff. I've got some very good friends that are mechanics. And to be completely honest, I was torn between the mechanics and the plumbing. The chefing side of things, I absolutely loved it, but realized that the work hours are, upside down. And for family life, it's probably not the right way to go. So, yeah, I ended up between the two. And my ultimate choice at the end of the day was, if there is a world economic shutdown, what can you live without? Can you live without a chef? Can you live without a mechanic? Some of us, you can live without electricity. But with the population density on this world, there's no ways you can live without sanitation.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was basically my deciding factor. And I mean, it showed through and through during COVID, which gave us a bit of an idea of how much of an important trade plumbing is.
Yeah, I was going to say, you must have been one of the few that was able to still continue operations, because you had to. It's an essential service.
100%. So through that whole hard lockdown period, I was at home 2 days, and that was Saturdays and Sundays.
Wow.
I was at home 2 days. And through that entire process, one, if I wasn't helping delivering food parcels to people, I was doing jobs for free for people, because they would literally phone me and say, Barry, I've got a burst pipe, but I don't have any money. I've got nothing. So pay it forward. Do a job for free.
You're a good man, Barry Chapman, and that's why I think the community responds to good guys like yourself and likes to support local, but when it's good. You know, it's not just a question of support local, because it's support what's good. And then, of course, you keep things spinning. For looking back, because you've built a hell of a nice life with family, and you've got a good balance. You do a lot of volunteer work. You do a lot of hard, normal work and after hours work, and you have a reputation for being a straight shooter and an all round good guy. And you have, honestly, I suppose it's a fact, you're a product of the product. You do what you do extraordinarily well, you and your team. And as a result, you have a marvelous life. There are many that look at your social media posts where you take your kids out and show them beautiful places, and you do adventures together, fishing and hiking.
I'm very opportunistic. So if an opportunity arrives, and it drives my wife dilly, that's why sometimes she's not there. Because I will, on a Friday afternoon, I'll literally pick my boys up from school. When they finish school, pick them up and off we go. For example, we went away 2 weekends ago. We arrived at our destination at 9 o'clock at night, because we had the opportunity to go there to go and see it. And it's a life experience for my kids as well. So yeah, the more they get exposed to, you know, the more knowledge they're going to gain, better, you know, general knowledge is going to grow, and just everything.
And I think the point that I'm getting to is that your career choice has given you that opportunity to build a solid business, a good business in a good community, and you can raise a family, you can give them the better things.
100%.
It's a good career. Maybe not everyone's first choice of career, but I would imagine it's a really good career.
Well, you know, when I first started, that work experience thing for me was probably the best thing that ever happened, was just getting that opportunity to work and go, geez, yeah, okay, I actually enjoy this. This is really cool. But I still remember when I first started as an apprentice, and we were working on a sewer line, and my journeyman next to me is busy eating a sandwich. And I was like, ugh, how do you do that? That's disgusting. There's like sewer line, and but like, surely you gotta wash hands and this and that and da da da. And 3 weeks later, I was doing exactly the same thing.
It's interesting how one gets used to your work conditions, and then it becomes business. And thank goodness, thank heavens, it's like that. I remember years ago when I was a television producer, and one of the shows that I produced back then for the SABC was Police File, and quite a lot of that was into the government mortuaries to identify unidentified bodies. How do you recognize this man or this woman or this child?
Wow.
Terrible stuff. And I looked at these morticians. They were just ordinary, many of them just ordinary policemen, and I couldn't understand how anyone could ever get used to these conditions. And I mean, I never did, because I wasn't there regularly. But speaking to the guys, to them, it was just another day.
You get so used to it.
They do, and as I say, thank heavens, because these are essential services that keeps ordinary people from going mad. Because I think unless you are trained and able to deal with these emergency situations efficiently, effectively, take control, then the world is a terrible place without that sort of leadership. So I salute you. and bit of a different approach to chatting with Chapman today, but I just thought it was worthwhile because you're an extremely busy guy. I know you've got to get going. Yeah, I heard you take a call earlier saying I'll be with you in 15. It's about right now. So on that note, we will simply say we will be chatting with Chapman again. And in the next dispensation, after the elections, beautiful. Things are going to be different, are they?
I very much hope so.
Here's hoping. We've been chatting with Barry Chapman, our resident plumbing expert. And if you have a plumbing issue, listen to this.
Hi, I'm Kerry Miller, and recently my shit hit the fan, so I called Barry at Chapman Plumbing. Are you tired of dealing with a naughty drain that just won't behave? Ugh, is your water meter running like it's training for the Comrades Marathon? Well, it's time to call in the experts, and the experts are Chapman Plumbing. They're your drain specialist, your geyser specialist, and of course, your leak specialist. From plumbing, planning, to installing, checkups, and repairs. So when you need a plumber fast, call Barry at Chapman Plumbing. He's got you covered.